Thank you, ladies. Such a peaceful song. Hope you enjoyed that musical number. Thank you for sharing. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. If you've been a part of First Wesleyan Church, you know that we're going through the book of John. However, we're exiting from John 14 and we're in John chapter 1 through the Christmas season. We are in the midst of a series called Bringing Christ into Christmas. Now, if you happen to miss last Sunday, thank you for a couple of you catching that. The message, the guy, Jesus, was preached, and you can access it online, actually. There were a couple of you that came, so thank you for those of you who tried to come and be here, but if you haven't ever accessed a sermon online, the website address is on the screen behind me, rcfirst.org, and if you just go there, then you see where you can click on the sermon, and you can access that message. The guy Jesus, it was a message that talked about Jesus coming in the human form and that he was truly here. Our Bible tells us that, but there are some historical documents outside of the Bible that tell us that as well. And so if there's anybody who says, well, I don't know if Jesus really was here, he was. And he came in the flesh. And so I encourage you to listen to that sermon. Today, the title of the message is The Glowing Jesus. Really, that Jesus is the light. I use some alliteration, so that's why there's G's in each of them. Next week, we'll talk about the glorious Jesus. We have seen his glory. What an awesome phrase. We have seen his glory. And so next week I'll attempt to provide some kind of a message about seeing God's glory. Where I say that, why I say that is that it's just, God's glory is just extreme. And so for me as a human to say, I'm going to be able to adequately tell you what God's glory is going to be quite the challenge, but I'm going to do the best that I can. And then the next week will be the graceful Jesus, and then on Christmas Eve, the giving Jesus. I think that we consciously need to bring Christ into our Christmas. Many retailers want us to buy things, and we're pressured, or we want to travel to see some family and friends. Some of us don't necessarily want to do it, and we're pressured to do that. And some of us are willing, and we're excited about that. But we have to daily say yes to Christ, and we're 17 days away now from Christmas, December 25. Is your Christmas shopping done yet? Not yet? See, I'm even pressuring you. That was kind of a setup question. Because we're pressured for the hype of the season to make sure we get our Christmas shopping done. One of the ways that we bring Christ into Christmas is being in God's Word daily and letting him speak through his Word and through prayer time with him. Today, the message is called The Glowing Jesus. Now, please know this. I'm not going to set Jesus on fire up here, all right? That's not the glowing that we're talking about. He was not on fire. He was and he is the light. And I'm going to be sharing about how Jesus is the light of the world. And so I encourage you, as I share this morning, may you see Jesus as the light of the world. Many of you received a little candle. I encourage you to take that home with you today. Put it somewhere and just have a reminder that he is the light of the world and he shines through you, which we'll talk about here a little bit later. Now, don't take all the candles because I need some for second service, but if you have one, please take one and use that this week as you shine your light. If you join me in the scripture, John chapter 1, I'm going to read one verse at this point in time, but I'm also going to hearken us to other verses throughout the message. Here's what John chapter 1, verse 9 says. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The first thing I want you to see is this. Jesus is the true light. Why is that important? Jesus was not just a light among lights. He was not just a passing light. He was not just a shooting star. He was not a light that could go out. He was the light. He is the light, the one and true light. What does true mean? I have a definition for you on the screen. That which is not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name, in every respect corresponding to the idea signified by the name, real, true, genuine. Or a second one, opposite to what is fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, simulated, or pretended. One has said it this way: the light was not subject to the changing conditions of time and space, but was and is true. Not only Jesus was the light, Jesus is the light, and Jesus will continue to be the light. It's not like, well, he was the light and now he's not. It's like he's turned off. No, he is the light. He will be the light. In heaven, he will be the light. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, it says, "And night will be no more. They will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." I think there's a neat connection here with this word true and truth of Jesus Christ presented in John. And hopefully you're going to see the connection here as I circulate with some of the verses from John. So here, catch these. John chapter 1, verse 1. It starts out in this way: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so Word was there. Who was the Word? The Word was Jesus. Then in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory." Glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then if you go forward to John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus, in the high priestly prayer, says this: "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." And so it just kind of circles around. And then John chapter 14, verse 6, going backwards a little bit: "I am the way, the truth, and the life." It just circles in John. It just circles back around. In the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh. Sanctify them by the Word. Your word is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the true light. There's no wiggle room for this, by the way. Some of you might be like, well, there might be some other lights in the world. There's not. Jesus is the one true light. End of story. Period. When you wrestle through things in your life, and you're like, I don't know if I should believe this or not. You can believe that Jesus was the true light. He is the true light. He will be the true light. Now, some of you think that Chevy is the best thing to buy in the whole world. Some of you agree with that. And you're like, don't buy a Ford. I mean, you buy a Ford, fix or repair daily. We don't want that, all right? Some of you are like, Kia, we want a Kia. Or maybe you're like, Toyota, and then you jump. Didn't Toyota used to have that where they jumped or something on a commercial? Okay, maybe not. Anyway, or maybe you're a Dodge guy. You know, got to have a Dodge pickup, you know, Dodge. I don't care. It doesn't matter in eternity. You can be whatever you want to, but there is not one true vehicle. Now, I know some of you are going to debate me on that, and you're going to be like, no, hold on here, Pastor Steve. No, doesn't matter. Some of you like baseball. Some of you don't care for baseball, and you like football. Some of you are like, why even play sports? That's just dumb. Some of you like cross-stitch. Some of you like knitting. Does it matter? No. Is one true? Is one better? I don't know. I'm going to have some challenge with this one. Some of you might like Mac or PC. Now, if you're a Mac person, you're going to be like, well, of course you got to have Mac, not PC. Coke or Pepsi? It doesn't matter. But it does matter that Jesus is the true life. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Either Jesus is true or he is not. And I ask, is he the truth for you? I heard a sermon recently, and the preacher chatted with a man, and the preacher presented Christ to him. And the man said something like this: if I really served God, then my life would have to change dramatically, and I don't want to do that. The preacher appreciated the man's honesty, but he was also mourning for the man. You better believe if you tackle and accept Jesus into your heart and your life, it's going to change your life dramatically. And I believe that it changes your life dramatically for the good. Is the true light in your life? Is everything that you are doing, that I am doing, showing that Jesus is your Lord? Do you curse? If you curse, the true light is somehow being darkened in your life. Do you tithe? Do you give to your local church? That's a scriptural commandment. Do you spend your money wisely? Or are there things that you're spending your money on that's not the true light shining through you? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Or do you get frustrated because their alarm goes off at 2 o'clock in the morning? Do you spend daily moments with God? If so, the true light is shining through you. Are you pursuing sports more than God? Then maybe the true light is not shining. I believe if you trust in the true light, his path is greater than the false light. And I encourage you, let Jesus' true light shine in you. Number two, Jesus gives light to everyone. It's what the scripture says. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. No one is excluded. Everyone can have the light. Now, I've got to step back here for a moment. Brian, if you could help me. Obviously, it's not totally dark in here, and there's a nice bright sunlight right there. Isn't that wonderful? It's pretty dark in here right now. It could be darker. We could have put some window shades up. Could have been cloudy. But you know that even if this room was even darker, just one little flicker, if this room was completely dark and I lit my one little candle, my one very little candle, everybody would see that. The light would break through the darkness, and you would know that. Everyone has access to the light. John 8:12 says this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John 9:5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Matthew 5:14, "You are the light of the world." John 12:36, "While you have the light, believe in the light so that you may become sons of light." John 3:19, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." What does this mean? Jesus was and is the light of the world. However, his personal light is not here. Thus, Jesus lives in and through you. And I just want to make sure you understand. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." How is the light of Jesus shining through you? Nothing more fully shows the darkness of men's minds than when the light had appeared, there needed a witness to call attention to it. A story is told about three boys. They went into the woods when it was dark, and the eldest decided he was going to leave the other two. The two boys that were younger were scared. They were unable to see their hands in front of their faces, and they knew that no one was looking for them. If you've ever been in that situation, you know that when you're in complete darkness, everything all of a sudden gets a little louder. The leaves that were rustling made them nervous. Could that have been a bear or a mountain lion or a snake? What was that going to be? But off in the distance was a faint glow of light. They didn't know what it was, but they could see it. So they started walking through the woods. Finally, they got to the edge of the woods, and then they found that the light came from their grandpa's house. At that point in time, you know what they did? They quit walking, and they ran. But they never would have found the way without the light. Everyone has the light. Jesus brought the light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Number three, some people do not receive Jesus. I hope this is not you, and I hope that you have received Jesus. If not, why not today? Because people don't receive Jesus, they don't have the light. Thus, they walk around in darkness. Just because everyone can have the light, not everyone receives it. John 1, verse 12 says this, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." I think we have a hard time understanding the concept and the greatness of light. We have it everywhere. However, at one point in time in our history, we have not had lights on every street corner. How many of you lost power this last weekend? Anybody lose power? Some of you lost power. And at that point in time, you're like, now where did I put the flashlight? Where did I put the candle? How did we do this? Benjamin Franklin wanted to interest his friends and his neighbors with street lighting in Philadelphia. Do you know how he did it? He didn't call a city council meeting, or he didn't call the governor and say, you know what, I think we should have lights on every street corner. He didn't do that. He didn't try to persuade anybody about by talking about it. He didn't go around and say, we need to have lights. Would you like to help me with my light fund? You ever have anybody do that? Would you like to help me with this? Because this is a great idea. Here's what he did. He hung a beautiful lantern in front of his house. He kept it polished and trimmed and lit. And he worked on the wick every night at dusk. And the lamp helped him to see and helped others feel more secure. Soon, do you know what happened? Another neighbor did it. And another neighbor did it. And another neighbor did it. And another neighbor shone their light. And guess what happened? Pretty soon, Philadelphia was lit. Why? Probably because of one man who said, I'm going to present something that everybody's going to be like, wow, we can see. If God's light shines us, we're kind of like Benjamin Franklin's lantern. We need to trim our wicks, and we need to make sure that it's polished, not because we just want to be polished people, but because we're working on what God has done in our lives. How many of you have Christmas lights up? How many of you have Christmas lights up? Everybody? If not, you still have a little bit of time. Some of those are inside. Some of those are outside. Why do we do this? Why do we put Christmas lights up? I think we do it because it's a dark time. I mean, 4:30, come on, why is the sun going down at 4:30? And so we try to brighten things up a little bit for our neighbors, try to provide some cheer. May the spiritual light of Jesus shine through us, because soon we're going to take those lights down. Some of you will lead those up. Some will shine them for a long time. However, we can always shine the light of Jesus. Sadly, though, some don't receive Jesus. They don't accept the lights. It's kind of like this. I don't know how many of you have been out Christmas light looking around, seeing. Maybe you've driven around town a little bit. Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've looked at the ones in your neighborhood. Maybe you have Clark Gable that lives next to you. Does anybody know that name? Wasn't his name Clark Gable that had, what was that? Griswold? Clark Griswold. There we go. Thank you, dear. Now that's a name. Clark Griswold. If you have never seen that movie, you can watch it if you want to. But anyway, it's a house that's fully decorated. Maybe that one's next to you and you're like, turn your lights off for just a little bit, please. But some of us don't go look at Christmas lights because we're just too busy. Because we just don't care. Because we don't want to. Because. In the same way, people who don't know Christ make up a variety of excuses of why they're not following Christ. Well, I'm just too busy. I don't have time for Christ. I don't care. I don't really don't care. You know, why should I have Christ in my life? Not that big of a deal. When Christ shines in our life, it makes a difference. And maybe you are here this morning reluctantly because of areas in your life that you don't necessarily want the light to shine. And I encourage you, receive Jesus' light into your life. Let him shine through you in all areas. Number four, I want to make sure you know this. We are not the light. You are not the light. You are not the true light. Here's what it says in verses 7 and 8 of John chapter 1. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. This is John the Baptist. That all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. John the Baptist has talked about, who came to bear witness, and we have this awesome opportunity to bear witness about the light. Now, we don't shine to bear witness to ourselves, but to others of the true light that is being Jesus. As many of you know, you can turn the lights back on now, Brian, if you would, please. As many of you know, and maybe you don't know, we are going to be focusing on in 2020 on the 2020 challenge. Now, some of you are like, well, what's the 2020 challenge? Well, let me tell you about it. Pastor Mark is going to be preaching a message about this on December 29, but some of you will not be here. And I just want you to be prepared. I want you to be planning. I want you to be praying about this. The 2020 challenge is this, that you would invite 20 people in the year 2020 to church. Does church save you? No way. Church does not save you. However, the goal of this is for you to think, for me to think, there are people who need a good church. There are people who need Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and why not better for them to come to church? We think this is a good church. Don't you think this is a good church? Don't you receive help and encouragement and a great source of inspiration? Isn't there something about being able to call somebody in your church and saying, I'm struggling through a time. Would you be willing to pray for me? And yeah, I'll pray for you. And so we're going to be encouraging each of you to take on the 2020 challenge. You're going to get some wristbands. You're going to have your choice of four different colors if we don't run out. I already have my wristband on. I was given one earlier. And so I just want you to be thinking about who around you needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We get to bear witness to the light. Do you have somebody around you? Maybe a neighbor, a coworker, maybe a hospital worker. Sidestep for just a moment. It's fun for me to come to the hospital at times and visit some of you when you're in the hospital. Not that that's fun. That's not the fun part, because you don't really like being in the hospital, and that's not a good thing. But when you, as a person who's in the hospital, who's sick, and that's not a good place, you know, it's not good, and then you're like, I just hope I can be a witness upon these nurses. And I'm like, what? You're sick. Like, you're not well. You're ill. We need to put more IV, please. I mean, that's what we kind of need. But you have that concept of, I'm in the hospital for some reason, and I'm not real excited about this appendix being taken out or whatever it might be, but God has me here for a purpose. I love it when that happens. Maybe there's a daycare provider, a checker at the store or gas station of which you go to. You're like, that person is having a rough time. That person just seems to have a rough life. You know what? I should invite them to church because maybe they would accept Christ and their life could change. Maybe a teacher. Maybe a coach. Maybe this doesn't happen as much right now, but it will happen in the summer. Maybe there's a guy who walks by your house every single day with a dog. Huh, I wonder if that person knows Jesus Christ. Maybe I should invite that person to church. Why not? Wouldn't that change their life? Didn't it change yours? And so I encourage you to be thinking of that, about that, of shining witness to the light, the true light. We also have some little business cards that if you want to take one with you, and it gives the information on it, and those are at the common area, out in the commons area. When people come to Christ, which I am believing is going to happen in 2020, don't you? They need a good church home to immerse themselves in and be discipled in the faith. Think of all that you know spiritually, and some of you are way here, some of you are way here, and many of us are right in here. But think of all that you know spiritually. What if somebody comes to know the Lord? They need to be discipled in the faith. Where could they be? Those of you who are children and teens that are in the room, think of some mothers that are around you that don't know Christ as their personal Savior. You pray, and they don't get to pray. They don't know how to pray. And you bring a friend or a neighbor to Christ, and then they have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you who are older, there's somebody around you. There are neighbors that are around me that I drive off on Sunday morning, and I come back and wonder what they do on Sunday mornings. We bear witness to the light, the true light, and all people should know Christ. There's a story that's told about a World War II expedition. There were six planes that were launched from a Navy carrier. They dropped their bombs during the night and it was a dark night, and they made their way back. They radioed the aircraft carrier, and they called for increased lighting so they could find their approach. However, the call came back that they were to maintain a complete blackout because of enemy surveillance. The pilots called back an SOS pleading for lights because without them, they would not be able to find the ship in the pitch dark. The radio operator refused. The lead pilot begged, "Just one on the bow and we will take our chance." The radio operator responded, "We're following our orders. I'm sorry, really sorry." And the communications lines went dead. All six of those planes were lost because they couldn't find the light in which to land. There are many around us that are lost. They don't have the hope of eternal life. They don't have the hope of Jesus. There's no radio commander saying, "No, we're going to have a blackout." But what our commander is saying, shine your light. We bear witness to the true light. And if you really believe that it's the true light, then why don't you share that light? Is there somebody around you this Christmas season that's just grappling in the dark, that's just frustrated, and you can just see it? You can see the creases. You can see it in their demeanor. You can see it in their shoulders. Jesus was the true light, which gives light to everyone. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father who's in heaven. By the way, we don't need to call a city council meeting, or we don't need to have a church meeting to discuss whether we should invite somebody to church or even talk to them about God. You just go do that. We don't have to have a homeowners meeting and say, "Well, you know, just wondering if we should have lights on our street." You shine your light. A life of Jesus will impact many. Let me remind you of that. Your light that is shining through you, that Jesus is shining, is impacting many. Please don't forget that. Many on your block know that something happens on a Sunday morning because you're here. Why are you? Where do you? You seem to go somewhere every Sunday morning. Yep, I do. Your light in your life that is shining through you of Jesus is powerful. I'm going to pray in just a couple of moments. And I'm going to pray that Jesus' light will shine in you so brightly that, as Scripture says, we who with unveiled faces reflect the glory of God, that those around you would just be like, this week. Would you stand with me, please? God, I thank you for this church service today. We've gathered to praise your name, and we've done that. We thank you for life and breath. We thank you for you being the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone. God, I pray just in the quietness of this moment that if there be somebody here who has never received you as Savior and Lord, who's never accepted you as the true light, I just pray that you would just shine down upon them right now and they would just say yes to you, and that your light would evict all sin in their life, that it would penetrate the darkness of their hearts, and that you would forgive them of their sins, and that you would just shine through them. Oh God, would you do that today? And then God, I pray for those individuals in this room that have your light shining within them. Thank you that you are the true light. Thank you that we can bear witness to the true light. And I just pray in the power of Jesus' name right now that you would be with each individual that's in this room, whether it be a young boy, a young gal, young adult, an older person in this room, may you shine brightly through us. Thank you that you came as the light, and may we point others to you. I pray that you would just have on our doorstep, if you will, individuals who just want to talk to us about you being in our lives. And so, God, would you encourage us with your light, and may it shine ever brightly this Christmas season. God, there's a dark world that we're about ready to head back into spiritually. But God, your light shines brighter, and I ask that your light would penetrate the darkness by our lives this week. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your light shining within us. And we pray this all in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.